again. We're ready for the second hour of the Saturday evening Libertarian Conversation. And this is Harry Brown, your host somewhat, and his esteemed guest, Doug Casey. And, Doug, I brought up your newsletter at the end of the last hour as an introduction so that you could give an 800 number where people could get more information, and we got a bit sidetracked and so never got that number. What do you have?
Oh, well, I don't have an 800 number.
Oh.
But I do have a...
How about a 200 number? until we get up and running.
I've got a website, though. Almost everybody has one of those these days.
Sure.
And it's very simple. Just go to www.dougcasey.com.
Doug Casey, how would I remember that? I have to think of some mnemonic.
Well, you could think of International Speculator if you wanted to, and dial that in as well.
Okay, the International Speculator, or Doug Casey, which is D-O-U-G-C-A-S-E-Y.
Right, and that will work.
And how long have you been publishing a letter one way or another?
Oh, Harry, I'm shocked to tell you, but at this point, it's 26 years. 26 years.
26 years.
26 years. That's unbelievable, isn't it?
Yes, it is. It's longer than I published. I published for, 25 years or 23 years, something
yeah,
like that.
It's funny how time goes by, isn't it? And most disturbing, too.
Yes, and as everybody knows, faster the older you get, and as not so many people know, the reason is that each year, as you go older, each year represents a smaller percentage of your life. And that's why it seems to be a faster period of time.
That's right. I puzzled this out, actually, when I was in my 20s, when I was skydiving actively.
You're trying to figure out what percentage of your life was taking you to the ground.
Yeah, well, actually, that's a good time to think about these things. What happens is, when you jump out of a plane, typically you go out at around, the typical delay period is about 30 seconds. And to get that, you jump out at around 7,500 feet. And it's interesting. When you first jump out of the plane, and the first 5 or 10 or 15 seconds, it feels like you could fall forever because the ground is not approaching noticeably, like being in youth. And then, once you get to around, 3,000 feet, now it's coming up. And when you get to 2,000 feet, it's the ground rush effect. And at that point, you better look to pull because you're closing in on the ground at anywhere in between 120 and 200 miles an hour. But the thing is I called it the ground rush effect. That as the skydive is coming to an end, of course we don't have a parachute that we can pull to slow things down. That's the only place the analogy falls down, perhaps.
Okay. Well, website address, again, and I hope for not the last time, is DougCasey.com or InternationalSpeculator.com. Now, what I want to know is what you were saying about the war on terror in New Orleans last November, or what you're saying about it now, or what you're saying both times, whatever.
Well, it's a massive criminal endeavor that is absolutely unprecedented and shocking in its scope. Regrettably, the United States has often, bullied small countries. I mean, for decades, especially since the time of Spanish-American War, always invaded these little nothing-nowhere countries in Central America and the Caribbean. But maybe that's not, because they're not real countries, and, who knows? You can make up excuses for that, but this is the first time that the U.S. has ever invaded another country completely without provocation of any type. Completely...
without any excuse.
No excuses whatsoever. It was just a bit of pure criminal miscreancy. And that's shocking, but it's even more shocking that once this happened, Americans didn't turn out into the streets and march on the White House, haul Bush out and tar and feather him and ride him out of Washington on a rail, which used to happen in this country to political types during a more graceful era.
Yeah.
But
when I said without any excuse, what I meant was without any stated excuse, rational or irrational, plausible or implausible, true or false or whatever. They didn't even try to make an excuse that America was threatened, although they came up with a few lame things.
But. Oh, you know, the two ostensible reasons why this country invaded our erstwhile ally, which Saddam was, of course, he used to be our client, was number one, it was alleged that he had weapons of mass destruction, which was a lie from the beginning to the end. And, I mean, even I knew that, not having been to Iraq. I did go to Syria last year for a week, which I thought was interesting, because Syria, along with Iran, is perhaps the next country on the invasion dance card.
Sure.
But so I did go there to check it out, and anybody that's even been to that part of the world would consider it absolutely insanely laughable to think that these places, which are backward, quiet, that they're in a position to invade anybody. They can't even feed themselves, for God's sake. So that was the one reason for invading Iraq. And what was the other hokey reason that they gave for it? Weapons of mass destruction, and Saddam was a friend of Osama bin Laden's or whatever.
Oh yeah,
another absolutely pathological, transparent lie.
Which incidentally, to get back to the war on terror, was only a useful reason, if you can say useful, because it had already been established that Osama bin Laden was pure evil, and a war on terror was necessary. So that had to be established first, and then you could say, we'll see, Saddam Hussein's part of this war on terror, and so we have to do it.
Yes, it's well known that all of our enemies, in every time and place, are always pure evil. And we're always, always the good guys. But then again, you know, most Americans are unaware of the fact that the Germans, during World War II, all supported their government, and they thought that they were on the right side, doing the right thing, because Germany was threatened, and they had no alternative but to attack the Poles and then the Russians and before they were attacked. And then they all supported this. And, it's so scary to say these unpatriotic things, but patriotism isn't a virtue, in my view. It's a vice, and a very, very scary one. It's much worse than any of the vices that William Bennett is partial to.
William Bennett being the former war on
drugs guy.
Bizarre, yeah, and also
the compiler. I'm not going to say author, because he didn't write it. He just compiled it, of the so-called Book of Virtues.
Yeah. And so you told these things to the people in Louisiana.
Yeah, and they didn't take very kindly to it, frankly. I mean, we have this ethos in this country where my country, right or wrong, which is, well, first of all, that's wrong, but it's even worse than that, because we're not talking about supporting the country, we're talking about supporting the government. And those are two totally different things.
Right.
There's not even a relation between them, and people conflate these things without logically thinking them out. But they're not supporting the country, they're supporting the government.
Right, and even more so supporting the people in government, the political guys there, simply because they're of the party that I voted for last November.
Yes, it's even worse than that, and nobody even says this stuff in public. It makes me think that there's really no hope, Harry. I know that you're an optimist about these things, but I just don't see that there's any way out at this point. Even these big trends of history, and I'm afraid we're on the downslope of one.
Well, I'm going to give you just a very simple reason for my optimism, and then we're going to switch to the subject I've been promising all night, and that is New Orleans. And you won't hear it like you hear it on the other stations. But this is Harry Brown. Doug Casey is my guest. The phone number is 1-800-259-9231. Call us on any subject, 1-800-259-9231. We'll be right back.
In the 1960s, the politicians promised us the war on poverty would end hardship and suffering.
Instead, countless Americans now live trapped in despair. Billions of our tax dollars have been spent. And after 40 long years, the war remains to be won.
In the 1970s, the politicians promised us the war on drugs would reduce drug abuse and crime.
Instead, we've witnessed an increase in drug abuse, rising crime rates, and growing prison populations.
Most recently, the politicians promised us the war on illiteracy would improve our educational system.
Instead, our children's reading scores are plummeting. Many high school graduates struggle with the most basic English. And many politicians refuse to send their sons and daughters to the same schools they expect our children to attend.
Politicians rarely deliver what they promise. Usually, they deliver the opposite. Learn how you can make a difference. Visit DownsizeDC.com. That's DownsizeDC.com.
It's up to us.
Welcome back. This is Harry Brown. Doug Casey is my guest, and I'll start out by responding to what Doug said about he's not as optimistic as I am, and I am not optimistic. I am hopeful, and hopeful means that I can see how this thing could be solved. Optimistic would mean that I think it will be solved. I don't know that it will be solved. I just know that it's possible. And E.B. White, the children's writer who wrote Charlotte's Web and some other fairly famous children's books like Stuart Little and so on, once said, as long as there is one honest man, as long as there is one upright woman, the future is not hopeless because the contagion may spread. That as long as there's, that's the end of the quote, but as long as there's one person speaking the truth, whether it's Doug Casey or Harry Brown or you who's listening to the show, it means somebody else may hear it and take up the story and repeat it to others and others repeat it to others and so forth. And of course, we're not starting with one person today. We're starting with millions of people who realize that government doesn't work, that government is a ridiculous answer to any question that comes up. And we need to realize that we're not alone, that people are being hurt by government every day. And we need to realize that New Orleans and other events like that continually add to the evidence that government doesn't work. And let me give you one example. I love this. This is a national disgrace, said New Orleans Emergency Operations Chief Terry Eppert. We can send massive amounts of aid to Tsunami victims, but we can't bail out the city of New Orleans. Well, why don't we turn that around for a moment and just say, we can't bail out the city of New Orleans, so what makes us think we can send massive amounts of useful aid to Tsunami victims? You know, all of this talk last year on there about this enormous Tsunami, and wasn't it wonderful that the U.S. promised X billion dollars, you know, and so on and so on. What makes you think it did any more good in Southeast Asia than it's doing in Southeast America today? What's interesting also is that Newsweek is carrying stories about how terrible things are going in New Orleans and Mississippi and so on, and other recognized national journals and television networks and so on, and one which is not seen that much throughout the United States, but the BBS, which is shown on PBS television every day.
The BBC, man.
BBC, yes, I'm sorry, PBS, it must be some football league. The BBC, which is the BBC today, is shown every night on PBS. I haven't been watching the television coverage of this, but I was just clicking around after the end of the tennis match on television tonight from my hospital bed, and I happened to see this report on New Orleans. And I'm not sure where this was exactly, but the video that they showed was of one of these refugee camps that had been set up in New Orleans or Biloxi or someplace. And this was an area where people were fenced in, and in the middle of this huge, huge fenced-in yard was another yard, was another fence, which was small enough that somebody the size of Doug Casey or I or many other people could climb over that fence. And on the other side, on this side of the fence, were all these people, poor and rich, old and young, young and old and old, I think I covered that, pregnant women, and the injured, and the healthy, and so forth. All of these on one side of this fence. And on the other side of the fence lands a helicopter. And the helicopter just throws out food from the there was nobody on the other side, no authorities, no troops, no anyone. The helicopter just landed there and dumped all this stuff out. And, of course, the healthiest of all the people in the area there jumped over that fence, sprung over the fence, and grabbed the food and made off with it or started selling it to people on the poor side of the fence and so on. And this is how the distribution works. Well, geez, we can't, you know, only government can do something like this. You can't trust the private sector. Only government can grab this food and exploit it and so on. And it was just such a moving image. It lasted about 15, 20 seconds. You saw this. And here on this side of the fence, you saw women crying. They had been waiting and waiting for days to get some food, waiting desperately for aid of some kind or other. And the aid arrives, and it's stolen from them. And that's our government at work. And there were all sorts of images that came to mind. And, Doug, I hope you'll excuse me, because I'm going to use up this segment talking about this, and then I want to open the mic to you and then open the mic to any callers who have questions about it. But I really am head up about this. Here's another little factoid for you. Why didn't the National Guard get there sooner? Well, because there are 7,000 National Guardsmen from Louisiana and Mississippi who are, guess where?
Iraq?
Yes, of course.
And a few in Afghanistan, too, sure.
Yes, 7,000 National Guardsmen in Iraq who could not be there to help. And what does the National Guard do that's so wonderful? They help in times of emergency. That is, if they're not off fighting some ridiculous war on the other side of the world.
Creating an emergency someplace else.
Yeah, right. And it goes on and on and on. Now, there has been some wonderful stuff written about this. And I usually, every Saturday night, put on my Radio Links page links to all the websites that I mention on the show, the websites where there are articles or other information published that is referred to on the show. And I can't do it tonight because I'm sitting in a hospital bed. But I'm going to put these links up on Monday or Tuesday. I can't do it tonight, obviously. And there is wonderful stuff. And as I said before, Newsweek has published articles on this, a number of articles on this, and there are a number of others. And Jim Babka has been nice enough to keep me informed of a lot of this information that's available. From the Sun-Times of San Antonio published a lot of information that lets you know a lot of things that are a little bit different from all this wonderful stuff. God, the people in San Antonio opened their hearts. Well, they did, but you can only open your hearts if the government isn't getting in the way. And there's all kinds of information that's from very, very mainline authorities in the media and so on. And it's really wonderful to see all this. Now, I can give you a shortcut to this so that you don't have to wait till you get all the links from me. LouRockwell.com, today and tomorrow, their weekend edition, is just out of sight. It's one of the best libertarian sites on the Internet. And today's was devoted about two-thirds to the whole hurricane thing. And one of the terrific articles on there is Impeach Bush Now by Paul Craig Roberts. That Internet site is LouRockwell.com. Lou is L-E-W, Rockwell, R-O-C-K-W-E-L-L, LouRockwell.com. You'll see a lot of articles there. And one that I don't want you to miss, if I forget to tell you about on the way back, Doug, you remind me. And we will be back in just a minute with Doug Casey and open telephones for you to call in. This is Harry Brown.
If you produce computer storage media, you need GlideRite test heads. GlideRite is a major supplier of test heads to most media manufacturers in the U.S. and Asia. In addition, GlideRite produces glide heads, burnish heads, certifier heads, and thermal asperity heads, focusing on meeting your specific needs with short turnaround times and optimum quality, all at a competitive price. GlideRite's delivery performance is unmatched, whether quantities are large or small. GlideRite has manufacturing facilities in Milpitas, California, and Ho Chi Minh, Vietnam. Each site is equipped with state-of-the-art tooling and computerized equipment. GlideRite's services include research and development, new design and technology, and engineering support. Whether you need standard heads or customized solutions, GlideRite is your expert source. So when designing hard disks, always specify GlideRite.
They'll get away with it scot-free, of course, because it's always somebody else's fault, and Bush will put that idiotic, sincere grin on his face, and people will roll over and believe him. So,
right along with that, nobody will stand personally accountable for what he has done. For whatever mistake, from Bush on down, nobody is going to pay any money for it, nobody is going to go to jail for it, nobody is going to be ridden out of town on a rail, as I think you mentioned earlier before.
I'd say impeachment is far too light a penalty for Bush.
It was murder.
Far too light a penalty, and for all the wrong reasons for Clinton. But that's water under the...
Yeah, no, you're right. It's definitely murder in this case. Well, I'd like to call in Alex Jones now, who's on the phone from Austin, Texas. Good evening, Alex.
Hey, Harry, first of all, I just want to say that we want you to get better because we need you.
Oh, thank you, Alex. That's very generous of you.
You bet. Well, I also need somebody good to be able to fill in on my radio show occasionally. And
That's right. They called me to do this. I said, no, I'm sorry. I'm going to be in the hospital. And you can see how bad I am when I'm in the hospital.
Well, just God bless you. But, Harry, the reason I called in is I walked out of the studio. I was working on a new documentary, and I was listening to you driving home. And, you know, back on Tuesday, we got some heat at PrisonPlanet.com and InfoWars.com for just going back to the FEMA reports of 2000, 2001, 2002, 2003, saying that short of a nuclear disaster or a giant, you know, 9.5 in San Francisco, the number one looming disaster was going to be New Orleans, and Bush did slash the funding. The Times-Picayune, I was aware of 7 articles. I guess you guys have dug up a few more. But the reason I called in is that 3 days ago, every couple of days, we will take an AP photo of Bush and put a joke bubble by his face like he's thinking of it. And it was Bush looking out the window of Air Force One as he flew over on Wednesday. And so we had the thought bubble saying, gee, I wonder if I can get away with giving Halliburton no-bid contracts on the disaster. Well, the Houston Chronicle today came out, and it's on PrisonPlanet.com right now. The Houston Chronicle came out today, and guess who's getting no-bid emergency pay contracts?
Oh, my God.
So there's no Halliburton-ness. There is no level to the end of arrogance or insanity or out-of-control behavior, and we have them caught red-handed, specifically slashing funding when they knew that city was below sea level. And even I have the Houston Chronicle last year saying a direct Category 5 hurricane on New Orleans would kill 500,000 people. Now, again, that was the Houston Chronicle, a FEMA report last year. They were reporting on that, so thank God it wasn't a direct hit. So they knew, and now he's going to pose as our saviors, and oh, we've got to worship George Bush, this big government, un-American pimp. So I thought I'd let people know the latest. Halliburton is going to be making most of the money off this. And then my final point is that why is CNN and ABC and Fox and Yahoo and every other major media outfit saying give your money to the American Red Cross? Well, the American Red Cross, we have a huge article we put together on this, has been caught not just only spending 10% of the money they raise in every major disaster, but also stealing money, actually stealing mail of victims in the past. Why are they the group that's being promoted when there's so many good charities that are out there? That's my last point.
Okay, it's a very good point, too. One of the people on the Rockwell site says that you would be a lot better off giving the money through the Salvation Army, and that's probably true. Alex, I'm so glad to hear from you, and I'm glad to hear that you're not in the hospital, but any time in the future when I can do this, when I can actually string a whole sentence together, I will be glad to do it. I don't have to string a sentence together for my friend Doug, because he'll always support me.
No, you're doing a great job. God bless you.
Thank you so much. We'll be back right after this break with Doug Casey, and we've got James in Oregon we're going to talk to. And I think we've got time for one more call, 1-800-259-9231. That can be your call. This is Harry Brown. We'll be right back. And he's going to say, well, the one thing I really love about George Bush is he'll never desert his friends. And it reminds me of Harry Truman, because that's what they said about Truman, because Truman would never desert one of the people in his cabinet or anywhere else, no matter how much corruption was discovered. And people said, well, there's a guy that stood by his friends, and they still say it in the history books. When Warren Harding, after the Teapot Dome scandal, which was much less egregious, Harding called these people into his office and said, I'm sorry, but you're fired. I can't have you anywhere near me, and got rid of them. Anything you want to comment on what Alex said before we go back to the phones?
I thought they were excellent comments on his part, and well delivered, and funny, too. But this is all quite funny. I mean, there's really nothing we can do about it, so it's best to
we can laugh, right?
Just be amused by it.
Right. Okay, well, let's go to James in Oregon, and good evening, James. Good to hear from you.
Oh, hi. Yes, hi.
We didn't catch you asleep, did we?
No, there's that static before you when you connect. Never mind. I'm calling to first congratulate you on a great show. I can't believe Alex Jones actually called in. I've been a big fan of his since he did Waking Life, you know, the movie?
Oh, no, I don't know that.
Oh, he's in that. Yeah, it's a great movie, by the way.
Is it a dramatic movie or a documentary?
Oh, it's hard to classify, actually. It's an animated piece that somebody did, and Alex Jones is a very small part of it, but he gives a very moving speech in that movie. If you can get your hands on it, yeah.
Yeah, I'll look it up on the Internet. What did you say, Waking Life?
Yeah, it's called Waking Life, and it's a philosophical piece.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good. Well, what's on your mind tonight?
Mr. Casey is a wonderful guest. I really like the way he thinks. Anyway, I'm calling to say that if you go to dictionary.reference.com and type in the word fascism, you get the following response, if I'd like to read to you. It's a system of government marked by centralization of authority, stringent socioeconomic controls, suppression of the opposition through terror and censorship, and typically a policy of belligerent nationalism. And when you read that and you look at what's going on in America today, it's hard not to see a direct correlation, especially when you're talking terror and censorship.
Right. And loss of civil liberties, definitely.
Yeah. So, I mean, in my opinion, we're if not beginning fascism in this country, we're halfway towards a fascist state.
Sure.
Which is not good news.
And there's always one thing that's not included in that list, and the last item should be an excuse for every one of the above items.
Right. And excuse is a good word, because they're barely rationalization.
Yes.
Anyway, the second thing I wanted to comment on was something Doug Casey said. He kind of blames the American public for not being fully aware of what's going on. And I can't help but be reminded of a quote in The Matrix, which in my opinion is the best movie ever made. But
it's a great movie. I agree.
Where he explains what The Matrix is, and I've taken the time. It's very short. Can I play you what I'm talking about?
Well, we only have about a minute and a half to the break. Can you summarize it in the best way you can? And Doug, do you want to help him summarize?
I am a big movie buff, and I do like The Matrix. But what is it actually?
Our enemy. When you're inside, around, what are you?
James, I'm sorry, we're not hearing it very well.
Oh, okay, I'm sorry. Basically, he's saying that the people are not the problem; they're a victim of the system. But if you want to, are you still there?
Yes.
Great movie if you want to see it. That quote, I couldn't help but think about it. We want to save the people, but they're so inured in the system that they would fight to protect it. And that's exactly the situation we have today.
Oh, well, that is a good way of summing up what Doug is saying. Not completely, Doug.
Oh, that's very, very good. I totally agree with that. I was going to say one other thing about fascism, though. It's that actually it's an economic system as much as anything else. And the
difference
between fascism and socialism is that in socialism, the state owns the means of production. But in fascism, the means of production are these are Marx's basis of this. In fascism, these things are privately owned, but they are controlled by the state.
Owned by the guy sitting next to you at the gold conference.
Yes, exactly.
Right. Yes, very definitely. Originally, this whole fascism was an economic system, and the Italians adopted it, and Hitler got it from the Italians, and then it became associated with everything else that Hitler was doing, and that's where we get the modern definition. Well, look, we still have one more segment to go, and we got one more esteemed guest to have, and I hope you'll stay tuned then for the rest of the show, because I think you're going to like it. This is Harry Brown, and Doug Casey is my guest tonight.
This is Harry Brown. You know and I know that government doesn't work, that it doesn't deliver on its promises. But how do you persuade others of that? My book, Why Government Doesn't Work, was written for this purpose. It provides all the ammunition you could want to show others that government is never the answer to a social problem. The book shows why government programs never work out as intended, why government grows uncontrollably, why government doesn't work. The book provides principles, examples, one-liners, and solutions. Why Government Doesn't Work is now available for downloading at libertyfree.com for only $9.75. That's right, just $9.75 for Why Government Doesn't Work. You can read the book on your computer screen or print it out and read it from your easy chair. You can get Why Government Doesn't Work tonight at libertyfree.com.
I thank you so much for listening tonight, and I thank Mark Whipple for keeping us on the sea of humanity and reality and technology from the engineering booth in Minnesota. And right now, though, I want to go to Virginia and talk to my good friend Jim Babka, who is host of a very, very good political talk show on Sunday afternoons at 4 p.m. Eastern Time on this network. Jim, good to have you stay up this late.
Well, it's good to be up this late. I've been listening, and I've come to a conclusion after hearing Alex on air here that when polling Genesis Communications radio hosts, you are a very popular radio host, Harry. You're the one we all listen to.
Oh, thank you. Well, I don't have the listenership of some, but I'm just glad to be here. Just proud to be here, as we used to say in Texas. Oh, wait a second. I've never been in Texas.
You know, I was I was calling regarding your tsunami comment. I noticed that you put a slightly different twist on it, and I have yet another twist to offer you, and it's something I intend to talk about on my show tomorrow at 5 o'clock Eastern, and that is that what happened here happened in the United States, and the difference here is that we have reporters that are able to move around and talk about what's happening, and they've got the American people's attention right now, and so they're able to see this. They weren't able to see what happened in Thailand. They got maybe some pictures or some photos back, but we didn't have a whole lot of reporters there covering it for days and weeks and months. I mean, eventually they got tired of the story and they moved on with their lives.
Sure.
We have no way of knowing whether or not the federal government or anybody did a good job of helping those tsunami victims. We only have the word of the various charities and the federal government that was involved in sending money over there. We don't know how things are going in Iraq because most reporters are behind a wall inside a hotel, unless they go out inside a convoy as an embedded reporter. They only see what our government wants them to see, and again, we have to take the word of George Bush and Donald Rumsfeld and so forth, what's actually going on in Iraq. And
oh, yeah.
I think what should be driven home here is that what's happening in New Orleans right now is exactly what's been happening in Iraq and exactly what's been happening in Thailand, because we've been relying on the Santa Claus government to solve our problems. This is how government works, and you're getting a chance to see it now live on television on your own soil.
Oh, Jim, I have got to interrupt you. You're absolutely right about everything you say, and it extends all the way inside of government. But the quote of the week is from a nurse here at the hotel whom I meant to quote at the beginning of the show, and I've got to get this in before the break, and that is that policy, she says, policy is a way of not having to think. Government is a way of not having to think. Just say government will do it, and I don't have to think about it. And she's so right. Her name is Kathleen Casey, is her nickname, Casey Brazil. And that is so true. Government is a way of not having to think. And, of course, all politics is government. All policy is government. And federal policy is a way of prolonging government tenure, government anything. Jim, thanks so much for calling in. And, Doug, I'm sorry I didn't give you a chance for a last word, so you'll just have to come back another time.
Well, it's been a great pleasure, Harry. Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you, Doug. And please tune in again next week. This is Harry Brown. Good night.